Question 247-7282. Of course, Life in Texas from Andrew Foster of Harbell and Collins, attorneys at law. So you can call him with that question. 247-7282. The weather today, as you heard from Les Still a little while ago, mostly sunny skies today, a high about 70 degrees, maybe upper 60s even at the beach, and partly cloudy for tonight, low 60. Partly sunny for tomorrow with a high of 77. And then Friday night, we'll see a low of 54 degrees. Could be a passing shower in the overnight hours. He wasn't real confident about that happening. Much less than the National Weather Service is, who says it's likely. But anyway, mostly sunny and 63 on Saturday, and then sunny skies through good half of next week, too. 48 degrees down east, 45 at Cherry Point, 43 in New Bern, 47 in Jacksonville, 45 in Richlands.
Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell and Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And once again, it is 247-7282 is the best way to get us get to us. And we have a caller right away here this morning. Andrew, first of all, let me just say good morning to you.
Good morning, Ben.
How are you doing today?
Doing well.
Okay. I know you were a little ill last week, so I'm glad you're over that. All right. All right, let's go ahead and we have a Facebook, actually, a listener who is watching on Facebook Live here now from Spring Hope joins us now. It's William is joining us. Good morning, Will. How are you?
Doing well.
Okay, go ahead and with your question for Andrew today.
Well, it's kind of an LLC, family LLC gone bad. We set up an LLC for my dad's beach house as an estate plan, and then dad passed away. Then we wanted, three siblings wanted in, two siblings wanted out, and then we met, agreed to that I would be bought out. And then as long as I waited a year, we had an appraisal done, and then the year anniversary of my payout, my siblings said, you kind of fooled us about how the whole process works, and we don't have to pay you out. We're not going to pay you out. We're not going to let you sell your shares, and if you want to stay in it, you have to pay the monthly fees.
Okay.
And I'm kind of, I feel like I'm a silenced partner.
Silenced partner. Okay. Andrew, is there a remedy here?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So he mentions a family LLC. So Ben, the first thing that tells us is that this family beach house is held in a limited liability company. Mm-hmm. So a limited liability company is a great way to hold commercial family property, especially if there's rentals involved, because it sets up a structure and an organization to be able to handle these rents and then pass them out appropriately to the members. The issue is that when people want out, the first thing we need to look to, Ben, is the operating agreement for the LLC. So in an LLC, there should be a document that was drafted that tells everyone what their rights, responsibilities, liabilities to the company are. And so the first thing we need to do for William would be a detailed analysis of the operating agreement. The second thing here is it sounds like there was, and I'll put an agreement in air quotes, an agreement to buy out his interest, his particular interest. Was this in writing? Was it oral?
Okay, well, let's go. Will, was that part of the operating agreement? Was that how people could get out?
It was said in there, and then we did do it. It was in writing. I got a my brother then became manager of the LLC. He sent me a certified letter that then they would buy me out and that we would do an appraisal, which was done. And then, like I said, on the year anniversary of they told me they would pay me out as long as I waited a year. And then on the year anniversary of my payout, I got a kind of a nasty gram from a lawyer from New Jersey saying that they didn't have to do any of this.
Yeah, William, I think the idea there is that I'm glad to hear it that it's in writing, number one, because that means that you may have an enforceable agreement between you and the LLC that you can take action upon. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the first things, like I said, that what I'd like to do is if you could send me the documentation, if you have the operating agreement with the LLC and you have this correspondence between you and your brother as the manager of the LLC, that would dictate the terms of, you know, what can be due. But based upon what you're telling me right now, it may be that you have an enforceable written agreement that the LLC is now in breach of that you know you can take action on.
Now this is different than if they just had inherited the property and have it in tenants in common, and then say or however it would be, and then they could do a petition to partition. This is different when there's an LLC.
Yeah, you got it, Ben. So the LLC, since it's a business. It's run like a business, and the members are owners of the business, and therefore we get back to what are their rights and responsibilities. Well, they're not owners of the land per se. They're not, they don't have a tenant in common ownership interest of the property. They own a membership interest in this LLC that happens to own this real property.
Right.
So you're correct. The remedy for the LLC member is different than a tenant in common owner of real property. Mm-hmm. And the tenant in common owner of real property that you mentioned, yes, I'd be telling William, let's talk about a petition to partition action. In this regard, what I'm telling William is that we need to look at the operating agreement. We need to look at what agreement he's reached with his sibling regarding being bought out by the LLC, and then see if we have an enforceable contract that we can take some action on. In this regard,
William, is this property in this area in the beach?
Yeah, it's in Emerald Isle. That's why I thought I would call you.
Okay.
All
right,
William. If you can send afoster@harvellandcollins.com is my email address. If you don't mind sending me whatever paperwork you have regarding the LLC, that would be extremely helpful, and I can certainly get back in touch with you and give you some advice on it
on how to go forward. Yeah,
excellent. And just as a state employee with not much funds, are we talking a great deal of litigation costs?
It just depends. And that's the problem with this one is that a petition to partition can be a couple $1,000s, to kind of run through the process and procedure. When you deal with LLCs, I really have to see what, it's possible, William, that, you got a letter from a lawyer up in New Jersey. It may just need to be a lawyer saying, hey, look, I understand you're a New Jersey lawyer, but I've analyzed the documents. I see that this is, that these are
enforceable.
Viable and enforceable here in North Carolina. And so we're going to make a demand on them to enforce the agreement. And so it could be as simple as, I'm not going to say that it's a bluff out there by him because I haven't seen the documents yet, but maybe if he's asserting a position that's incorrect, we can correct that position and say, no, you need to, or we are going to be forced to take action. And you're right. I mean, if we can't resolve it early in the game, then you're talking about litigation. And then it's a matter of whether or not that's worthwhile.
But you can make that choice anywhere.
That's right, yeah. And that's the big thing is you got to start somewhere, and you start with the documents and analyzing and then figuring out, how do we make sure that you get what you want, William, which is out of this beach house and out of this LLC?
All right.
That's incredible advice. We'll send you everything, and I appreciate you doing this.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Will.
Thanks, Will. Now, does Will have the option to share, sell his share? Depends on the operating agreement.
Yeah. So we get back to depends on the operating agreement. So the way it works, Ben, is that, and the reason that what I started first and foremost, and what I always start with LLCs is we have to start with that operating agreement because that is how this business is governed. If he came back quickly and retorted, well, Andrew, we don't have an operating agreement, then what I'd tell him is under North Carolina law, there are some default rules, statutes, that fill in the gaps with regards to operating agreements. But the new LLC Act it reads anything as an operating agreement. And this is one thing where I'll tell individuals there is pitfalls. You can have an oral operating agreement. Mm-hmm. You can have an operating agreement that's on the back of a napkin. Mm-hmm. When you tell me you don't have an operating agreement, I'm like, are you sure you don't have an operating agreement?
So it sounds like it's even harder now to prove it defective.
So what I'd say is that he has, that's right. And what he's telling me is it sounds like there is probably a good operating agreement, meaning that one that was probably drafted by an attorney.
It had outs.
That's right. Yeah. Has outs, has the ability for members to get out of there. And you're right. Mm-hmm. It's possible that William could sell his LLC interest. Now, what I'll tell you is typically when you're looking at a family LLC, the first one says, okay, you need to try to sell it back to the LLC, back to the family. Mm-hmm. That's step one. If you can't do that, then you can go find a third-party buyer for your LLC. Who's going to want it? I don't know. I mean, who's going to want a one-fourth, one-third, one-fifth, whatever interest in an LLC that owns a beach house, you know, and is involved now with the rest of his siblings? It's not that marketable. But, you know, if he can find a buyer, then a lot of times you get that amount of money on the table and you take that money, you take that offer back to the LLC, and then they have an opportunity to match whatever offer comes in. But I think the more intriguing thing for William is that, you know, he had an agreement with his siblings. It sounds like, you know, and it's, there is evidence of writing,
certified letter,
certified letters, you know, back and forth. And so what I'm thinking,
but this other attorney is asserting that somehow he's been deceptive,
invalid. That the offer was not valid in some way, shape, or form. But again, that has to be analyzed, and we'll look at the letters, and we'll see whether or not this rises to the letter of an offer and acceptance. And guess what? That's a contract. And then if we have a contract and they're in breach of that contract, you have remedies. So that is what we're looking at when we analyze this type of situation. And I'll tell you, you know, I mentioned that LLCs are good ways to hold family property. But, you know, it's important that
they be written correctly.
The operating agreement be written correctly, because we have to anticipate that people are going to want out eventually. What happens when they want out? What's the procedure? What's the process? You know, they got an appraisal. That's probably part of the process, in all honesty, been in the operating agreement from I mean, it's a typical standard type deal.
And it could be an arrangement where they can't afford to buy them out, and they have to have some sort of a way of getting out still, right?
That's right.
I mean, It can't be forced.
You know, and he mentioned early in the conversation, he mentioned about he felt like he's a silent person.
Silenced.
Yeah, partner. Exactly right. I'm silenced here. Yeah. I can't do anything. And the answer to that is there's something in there that we can do to assert your rights. And, you know, whether it be to try to enforce that agreement or use another form, something in the operating agreement to try to force some type of dissolution of the LLC or something of that nature. You know, there is a remedy here for William.
And you also, I imagine you also go back and look and see, has the LLC been acting and walking and talking like a corporation or like it's supposed to be?
You got it.
There's lots of things that can be examined within there.
Yeah, it's a great question. And it shows, you know, just all the different angles you can think of these types of, you know, situations. And you analyze it from a lot of different angles, and then you put forth the best argument for your client.
All right. Well, you can save your notes for next week then. What we're going to talk about, that was a great question, and it really took us down a lot of good lines. It does actually have tax implications too, though. So we'll get to that too at some other point. Again, thanks for joining us here on Life and Tax with Andrew Foster. And as Andrew said, you can contact him at afoster@harvellandcollins.com.